He was interviewing this guy that swam around Great Britain. It took him 5 months.
Why?
Get a job.
Yeah. What are you doing?
He swam.
Swimming.
Like 100. I think 157 days. He swam nonstop, 6 hours. 6 hours on, 6 hours off, 6 hours on, 6 hours off.
Do you reckon he still swims or he's just like kind of over it now?
I think he only just got back, but like, I don't think he's going to stop swimming.
Like, yeah, he's just like, yeah, it's like, that's my swimming done for my life.
He was telling a story. He said he had like a jellyfish stuck to his face for like 3 hours of the swim. And he didn't even like, he thought he had just been stung, which he'd been swimming through. Like he'd been swimming through jellyfish the entire time. So he was like, oh, it's just a bad sting. He got out of the water, took his goggles off. And there was like a tentacle like under his goggles, which had turned his face into a different shape. It was that swollen.
Whoa.
Then he had to still continue the swim. So he took the tentacle off, tried to put his goggles on. It wouldn't seal because his face was a different shape. So he had to like put the like one eye there and like punch it in, like into his like swollen head, and then take the other one and punch it in.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Do you reckon he like gets Dory in his head and just keeps swimming? Just keep.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy.
What a peculiar gentleman.
You got to be.
He also pulled.
That's odd.
He pulled a car for an entire marathon. He ran with a car.
What?
Yeah.
He has excellent imagination, though.
Wait, he ran for an entire marathon. He pulled a car.
Yeah,
pulled a car.
Yeah, yeah.
How long did it take him?
I don't
know. How long's a marathon?
42.
42.
Yeah, 42 point something small. But
I did a half. That's an effort. It was terrible.
42 point something small. I like that.
that's an effort to drive. Let alone like drag a car.
Oh yeah, you're gonna be the dude in the car that he's dragging. Like, oh man,
traffic's terrible.
How long do you reckon this is gonna take? My guy.
Right.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of League Pass and Chill, brought to you by Fallout 76. In stores now. Go get it.
It's out.
Go get it.
In stores. I haven't bought it yet. Have you guys bought it?
I haven't. I'm a bit tight on the Moon Knight.
I got my free copy, right, that we got? We definitely got that?
We got no free copy.
I went out and bought it, and I can say it's one of the best games I've ever played.
Fallout 76 is in stores now. Go ahead and get a copy of that.
Glowing review from Ted.
My ability to not sing along with our opening song is a real sign of personal maturity. Yeah. Like to fight.
Yeah, I dance in quiet, but I don't sing.
I could feel it coming. I was like, no, don't. Not appropriate.
Everyone dances really aggressively in quiet too.
Yeah,
it's like the perfect pump up for a podcast.
It really does. Get it going.
We hope everyone who listens enjoys it too.
Hopefully.
Please let us know if you don't. We won't.
We can ignore you.
Yeah, we won't act on that.
Nothing.
But let us know. Let us know if you enjoy it, and let us know if you like our podcast. Head to Apple Podcasts and whatnot. Rate, review.
Wooshka. We're on Wooshka.
We're on Wooshka. We're everywhere.
No one knows what that is. So just come to iTunes.
I didn't know what it was until someone said, "We're on Wooshka." There you go. Wooshka. Now I just repeat that sentence.
It's gonna push this. You guys can watch the. I want to watch the game too.
The audience doesn't have visuals, Tom. So
yeah, but now they know that we're watching the Kings game whilst we're doing this.
We are watching the Sydney Kings game in the midst of this. But don't worry, we're focused on each other.
Yeah,
and on you guys over at home,
and on the NBA.
And the NBA. Last week we spoke about Jimmy Butler. We recorded a pod the day of that Jimmy Butler trade. We're a few games in now. We've seen a little bit that the Sixers are 2-1 with him. They lost to the Magic. And they picked up two wins in a row. Their other win was... Their last win was really cool. Kemba dropped 60, but Jimmy Butler locked him down in the second last possession of the game and then hit that three-pointer to win the game.
There was the possession before that as well. I think it was...
Right, it was like back-to-back possessions.
Yeah, right and through overtime.
So is it perfect? And are the Sixers going to just win the title now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is this the takeaway from this week?
Well, there's a lot to be said about people already talking about the chemistry between Butler and Simmons.
Right.
It was probably more evident in that first home game where Butler scored 28. And it made me think, like, when Butler started with Minnesota, he came out of the gates relatively slowly. Yeah. And that's what he looked like in the first game against Orlando. Like, I think when someone new starts in the office upstairs and you know, you're half Mormon missionary, half like shook, you know, heaps polite and nervous.
Like you don't know the way, you don't know the lay of the land yet.
Mm. So I was surprised that he turned around the very next game and scored 28 points. It took him 22 games at the Wolves before he scored 28. Yeah. And in those 22 games, he only got over 25 twice.
Wow.
Yeah, so, he looked at home. I think Philly's the perfect city for him, like personality-wise.
Right, his personality fits Philadelphia. Yeah. And then anytime him and Ben Simmons connect, watching those two just lock eyes
romance
with each other.
Yeah,
there's a nod going on within both of them.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
There's been a lot of doubt between how he's going to fit with, because apparently, I don't really know it for sure, because I haven't actually seen a lot of, but you would know, Ogun, that apparently there's a little tension between Ben and Joel. They don't really get on off the court as much as they should.
They're different characters.
Yeah,
and they just have different ways of approaching.
I think
everything.
He's going to be that midline. It's going to bring them together. Like he's the commonality that'll work, and actually, you know, they'll enjoy a company as three. But no, Ben might not get along.
But Embiid hates the opposing center more than he'll ever hate Ben Simmons.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Yeah. You don't have to worry about Joel Embiid. He's going to get his numbers because he takes it personally.
Yeah.
So if Ben and Butler can, because Embiid's just going to put up stats, you know, what, 26 and 10, something like that.
Something crazy.
Yeah. So like from a personality standpoint, I totally get that as well. Jimmy Butler is a very charismatic dude. Mm. He can bring people together as much as he can tear people apart. With that as well, I think he's also just good enough that he's earned some respect. So you have to respect him because of how talented he is. So it's not like you're adding, you know, like let's say Andrew Wiggins to the mix, where he's a guy who hasn't proven anything.
Mm.
You're adding a guy who has a proven record, right?
Yes.
I also think you saw that. I mean, you're talking about Jimmy coming in and maybe like tiptoeing around a little bit, but I think it's Ben that's been the one tiptoeing. Like today in their overtime win over Charlotte was the first time we really saw Ben like dominate the ball a bit more, score the ball a bit more. It looked like he was kind of deferring a lot in those first two Jimmy games. And today was the first time we saw like a proper Ben Simmons performance. And Butler was actually a bit quieter today. He only had 12 points before he hit that game winner that with over Dwayne Bacon with what, 0.3 seconds left in overtime. But that's why Butler's in Philly. Like that's the difference. We talked about it, like end of game situations. The Sixers haven't had that guy. And yeah, Butler missed the go ahead shot at the end of regulation time, but he lost no confidence and went right back at it at the end of overtime, nails a 3-pointer, wins the game for the Sixers.
So two things on that. The first one is Ben deferring is, I guess you can point to his unselfishness as him trying to allow Jimmy Butler to get into the swing of things.
100%, yeah.
Yeah. The second thing is, I'm very surprised that Brett Brown went to just a straight up, you know, Jimmy Butler at the top isolation.
Yeah, that was a bit
everyone
weird.
Just get out of there to end overtime as well, considering that didn't work at the end of the fourth quarter.
That shows a lot of faith that he's just like, let's stick.
Totally. Yeah. I'm just surprised that they went back to it, considering how much talent they
have. That ties into what you were saying, though. That is the respect that
right.
Jimmy Butler brings. Yeah. Like he has done that before.
Yeah.
And he put up, it was a good shot at the end of regulation. Like he got a good look.
He got
good
a
look
really
at it.
Good
yeah.
look. It was better than the look he got.
Yeah,
at
exactly.
Overtime.
Yeah. So, yeah, stick with him.
And the win in Philly and the win today, like, Philadelphia have won close games, but they've lost more games like that in the past than they have won them. So, but juxtaposed to that, they also went on a, what was it, 16 or 17 game win streak to end the season last year.
Mm. Yeah. Yep.
That was without Jimmy Butler.
Right.
So if there's a Butler and Ben Simmons with chemistry, like this team, you know.
I still think they're one piece away.
They're one shooter away.
Yeah.
Just get over there, Korver. Just hurry up, mate. what's happening?
I also think they're a front court player away as well. Because I don't trust Amir Johnson or Mike Muscala.
Yeah, can you explain why Muscala started today? Was that a matchup thing? Or?
Wilson Chandler was on restricted minutes.
He was restricted
to 12 minutes.
Righto. Yeah, I didn't
see that. So he actually didn't play at all in the first half and then went out with the starters in the second.
Yeah, and I saw he finished the game as well. I just thought that was kind of odd.
Yeah.
I didn't realize.
Also going to give a little shout out to Gardy, who last week said that the one thing that we know Jimmy Butler's going to bring to this Sixers team is a closer.
Yeah.
As in someone who's going to make a play at the end of a game. You can trust him with that.
I'm happy someone brought it up so I didn't have to.
I had to bring it up. I had to. Big ups to you for that.
Thank you.
Do you think the Sixers, you know, when we look at the East, you know, you've got your Raptors, you've got your Bucks, the Pacers. The Sixers are right below that. Is it literally just a shooter and they're in the mix to win the East? As in, whatever that extra piece is, if they add it, do you think they can compete as far as being a team that can make the NBA Finals?
Yeah, I think so. They have the star power to do it. I mean, they got the size as well. They got the defense. I think it is just taking some more space to fall around Joel and hopefully for him to get the idea that I can actually pass out of the post and I've got someone to pass it to.
Philly needs to make a move now on a shooter because their run of games, like their record, could be really good in like 2 or 3 weeks' time and may create the illusion they don't need one. They've got the Suns at home, Pelicans at home, Cavs at home, then the Nets, then the Knicks, then the Wizards.
That's so lovely.
That's a good run.
The majority of those games at home, the only ones on the road is the Nets.
Right. Like, if I'm the Sixers, I only worry about one of those games, and that's the Pels.
Mm. Yeah,
that's it. The rest of them can just cruise over there.
Again, they should win. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's juicy.
Is it a possibility that the Sixers go undefeated at home throughout the season?
No. I mean, it's 41 games. Yeah.
They're looking pretty good.
Look, they're still the problem with me.
They only
have
to lose one.
They still struggle to put through a four quarter performance. Like even today, I believe it was a 17-point lead. The Hornets clawed their way back. Then they had a 10-point lead with less than 4 minutes to go. The Hornets got their way back into that game. They really struggled to put through just four quarters of good basketball. And while they can go on these big runs where they put teams away. For me to put them up there with the Raptors, Bucks, and Celtics, I guess, when it comes to like playoff time, I feel like they have to sort that out before they can think about competing.
Totally. Two more things on the Sixers. One, which we don't have to touch on, but Ben Simmons went 9 of 11 from the free throw line today. He's nearly 10% above what he was last year, so there is a demonstrable change there, which is cool. So let's hope that continues, I guess. The other thing is, what the hell's going on with Markelle Fultz? So we saw earlier in the week the hitch in the free throw, but it wasn't just a hitch. It was like he double pumped.
That was a triple hitch.
You can't explain it. Please go and watch it. Yes, and then we saw two games ago, and I don't know if he went to the line today.
I don't think he did.
But his free throw now, if we can explain it, is he has the ball and he like hot potatoes it. He just taps it between his hands. From hand to hand, and that immediately...
Until it reaches above, like, his head.
He does that while moving upwards, and then that just immediately transitions straight into his shot. So he's never set. What on earth?
Firstly, I would like to bring up there was not nearly enough attention brought to that.
Right.
Because me and Ogun were watching it in the office, and we were like... Did that just happen?
Then no, it was everywhere.
No, not for like a while, really?
For 10 minutes we were looking and everyone was like, there were even some people that were like, oh, Fultz's free throw looked a bit smoother, which it did, but it also happened to come after he hot potatoed the ball up into his shoe. It was like, no one was like just accepting that the guy had just, I don't know. It's
because when the first one happened, everyone was just like, what? And just the internet kind of blew up.
Yeah.
It took a little bit for people to realize just like, wait a minute.
Honestly,
that's not. Right. Like,
how do you end up at that point?
I think they're trying to keep his mind off staying set because he's thinking about it too much.
Who's they though? Like his shooting coach.
He
just parted ways with his shooting coach.
Yeah, well, obviously the new one he's got then.
He's telling him to hot potato.
Yeah.
The way I see it is
I disagree strongly.
That is
what? So he's just doing this by himself? Being like, oh, this will work.
Someone's obviously.
You think there's a coach telling him to hot potato the ball?
Yeah, 100%. Okay. You got to keep his mind off
100%.
It.
There's a shooting coach of the NBA who's just like, I've got an idea.
He's obviously inside his own head and he's sitting there thinking and he's got a.
I imagine they brought in some like Eastern European expert or something. I don't know, like with a weird name.
He's got like clown shoes
idea.
And monocle. Who's just
I've
like,
got the idea.
Barney from The Simpsons.
It's going to be a hot potato. I don't know what
that means. What was that?
That was Irish.
I was trying Eastern European and it turned Irish, but I'll take it.
What is Eastern European? Just like
No, I'm not touching it.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, but what I was going to say is it screams of a last resort. It's like we genuinely don't know how to fix this without you like hot potatoing it up. Like if it does look smoother, like fine, but it's not a sustainable approach. It's almost accepting failure and then finding a solution to like the failure because it's going, we can't fix whatever's going on in your head. So we're going to find like this other way around it sort of thing. And well, he's way too young and it's way too early for them to be doing that.
Yeah.
Like, they just need to fix it properly.
To that point, Lou Williams, look how well he's going this year. His two best two seasons are this year and last year at the age of 31 and 32. Like you were saying last week, even if Fultz doesn't get better until 24,
yeah,
you still got a 24-year-old that is an unbelievable athlete, and we're, you know, in this hypothetical, he ends up with a jump shot.
Yeah.
So
the problem is, this is a band-aid solution to a far bigger problem. And yeah, like, fine, it could work for this season, but like,
yeah, but the yips is one of the most unsolved problems in sport. Like, no one knows how you get it. And no one knows how you fix it. I'm ready to drop my knowledge, because I've been doing a lot of reading on this.
A peek behind the curtains. Yeah. Tom has been researching the last 24 hours.
Too much research.
So usually what happens is, when we prepare for these pods, we see Tom's notebook. He over the week, he writes a lot of notes. It's generally numbers, that sort of thing. There's literally 2.5-3 pages. Just notes on the yips.
All on the yips.
And of course, we're not Marco Fultz's doctor. We can't diagnose him with anything. No. We don't know if that's what he has. It appears as though it's something.
The symptoms do point towards this, though.
Thank you, doctor.
Yeah. All the symptoms do point towards what is called focal dystonia, which is the fancy word for yips. Yes. Anyone, I can break down the structure of the words for you as
Marco
well.
Marco Fultz came off the bench today. Yeah. So he's coming off the bench now. Do you think that's better for him, right?
He shouldn't be playing.
You don't think he should be playing at all?
I think they should sit him for a couple of weeks until, like, he just knows what his shot is, or some semblance of it.
You don't think it can be like almost like a working practice?
I think
thing?
It's the in-game situations is where it's going wrong, because that's where the anxiety builds most, when there's like 16,000 people and watching him do one action. In the gym, I reckon he'd be shooting just fine, but once he gets into the game, he gets inside his own head. The anxiety builds. And his mind just kind of tosses it around.
Do you know who I feel? I feel the worst for here, TJ McConnell.
Yeah.
Who is, just in my opinion, like,
come on, man.
He is one of the best backup point guards in the NBA.
Well, right now he's better than Fultz.
Oh, no, without question. And I just think on any team, he makes any team better as a backup point guard, but he just doesn't get a chance to do that because the Sixers are trying to, on the fly, fix Markel Fultz.
He's also so supportive. He's
awesome.
Nice to see. He's just like, he's Markel Fultz's number one fan. And you're like, you're sitting there and you're like, you'd be doing a better job. Like, you were in. But he's like throwing his towel around. And shout out to you, TJ.
He's supportive of everyone. Like, he was on the top of our homepage for a bit today because he was just in Jimmy Butler's face after his shot. Go TJ McConnell.
True.
I like him a lot.
Great for chemistry. Chemistry points there.
So we look at the Sixers as a team who potentially is a piece away from being an NBA Finals team. On the other side of the ladder of the standings, you have the Warriors, who are almost certain to get back there. However, they're going through a little bit of an ebb here, if that's what I'm going to call it. Is that
Hashtag a drama alert.
Yes.
Thanks, Scotty.
Yeah.
That's not a hashtag. So we saw the biggest story of the week was the whole KD, Kevin Durant feud, right?
I remember
KD
that.
Kevin Durant feud, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just get it right.
Really Kevin Durant and Draymond Green, two NBA players, went through a feud where
To be fair, though, KD's got enough burner accounts that he's probably had a fight with himself in the past.
Just on that, how sassy is Draymond Green bring up free agency?
Like,
to look at KD, know he's a sensitive person, and be like, I know something that cut you in half. Here it is. Free agency chat. How do you like that?
But also, and are we allowed to say the B word on the podcast?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay.
There's no surprise that.
So the initial.
Absolutely no authority. It's hilarious. Whether we're allowed to or not. By all means.
So the initial reporting was that Draymond called him a bitch.
Oh.
Which is immediately, it's already a little bit funny.
Yeah.
But then Chris Haynes' reporting afterward was that he said, you're a bitch and you know you're a bitch.
You know you're a bitch.
And that one's
I think
just
everyone
like,
already knows he's a bitch.
But everyone listened to that and no one was just like, oh, no one would say that to him. Everyone was like, oh, he definitely said that to him. Mm. And Kevin Durant definitely knows that too.
Yeah. Yeah, he knows he's a bitch. And he knows that everyone thinks he's a bitch.
All right, that's
Whoa. Speak for yourself, Tom. But yeah, Draymond Green was open at least once, like very open. And KD was like, I'm just going to dribble and put up a bad shot.
Pretty much.
That happened.
That happened today?
Yeah. So
No.
Oh, no, sorry.
Today.
Day. Yeah. So Friday.
But it also happened today, where Kevin Durant had a chance to tie the game against the Mavericks. Or he would have put them in the lead against the Mavericks. He missed like a decent shot at the free throw line.
He missed two. Just two down the stretch in the last few minutes.
So, yeah.
There's some weird wins and losses this year.
Yeah.
Like when Orlando beats the Warriors. That's just weird.
So today the Mavericks beat the Warriors.
Mm.
Like, that's an odd one.
What a couple of L's there.
So the Warriors, so since Steph Curry's injury, so Steph Curry had suffered a groin injury against the Bucks. Since that injury, they're 2-3.
Yep.
What's going on here as far as, is it just they're lost without Steph Curry? The losses were to the Clippers, Rockets, and Mavs. So you look at the Clippers and Rockets.
Clippers, they're
good teams, but they're teams that the Warriors should beat, notwithstanding Stephen Curry's injury status, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it just that they're just so much better with him? Are they lost without him?
Correct. That's all of those things. Steph Curry is Golden State's MVP, and a lot of people go, he's their MVP and KD's their best player. No, like, Steph's their MVP and he's their best player. Like, I'm willing to put that out there.
Does everyone agree with this? I agree with that.
Yeah.
I get it. I get it.
That's KD's a fine argument. Like, I don't think there's a wrong answer, but 7 foot fast with a three, and it is basketball.
Yeah, but also you got to win games, you know?
Winning basketball, yeah.
Winning, Steph, at the end of the day,
I mean, you got to win games. Not only has he won games, he's won the last two finals MVP. But.
Yeah, but...
But yeah, you know. Anyway.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Steph's done it without, you know, Kevin Durant, the second best player in the...
And look, you drop Steph Curry and Kevin Durant in any team, and KD, yeah, he's probably more effective. But in this Golden State Warriors team, there is no player on earth that is more effective than Stephen Curry. And there's no player that can make a bigger impact than Stephen Curry does because of his gravity, because of his like playmaking ability, and obviously his shooting.
And he's just so charming.
Yeah, I think his personality comes into it a lot.
They have fun when Steph plays. And home games are different when Steph plays because that crowd loves him more than they'll ever love anyone, essentially.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, the Warriors, they won't ever be themselves without Steph. So
absolutely.
They need to come back quick.
I mean, if the chemistry was fine, if they were humming, I think for sure they'd turn around and beat the Clippers without Steph Curry.
Well,
but given that he's not there, and to bring Steph Curry when he's not playing, like, yeah, I get it. Like, he's meant to play mediator, but
yeah,
it's also like a visual reminder that there's something wrong there. The fact that Steph comes, it's a reaction to the problem. It's a reminder of said problem.
Well, that's the thing. The little rift between KD and Draymond Green happened without Steph Curry there. And then all of a sudden you bring him back and you see, you know, vision that comes out of all of them just joking together. He is like the perfect humble superstar.
Yeah, was it Steph went to Draymond's house and like talked him through it and like asked him like what was going on? What was like?
Is that what
just
happened?
Kind of calm him down? Yeah,
Steph Curry is just a calming influence. I couldn't imagine him being.
Yeah, he calms me down, so I can't imagine what he does to his.
Oh no,
friends.
Like I'm sure like Aisha makes some cookies or something. Like she loves to cook.
God, I want to be his friend.
She makes something delicious. She made some sort of salmon. I saw that a few months ago. It really wasn't nice. It didn't look good at all. But I'm sure she can make some nice things, and he just brings it.
Sure she's a capable cook. Let's continue.
She's a cook. I just don't want her to think that she's a chef.
We're
not going to get into this now. But
Steph's the only chef in that curry.
We're not going to get into it now. But Aisha, you ain't a chef. You're a cook.
Shots fired.
Yeah. I'm sure he brought something nice. And Steph Curry it's something that again we're watching Andrew Bogut now. So it's kind of reminded me. Steph Curry is the one person who Andrew Bogut just universally doesn't trash. And if Andrew Bogut likes you, you're doing something right. Because he doesn't like a lot of people.
He doesn't even like you.
Totally. No, like we're mixed. But like the fact that he has, like, I'm not perfect. I'm not Steph. I'm not Steph.
No, you're not.
Oh, you are not.
It's definitely the name of the pod, isn't it? So the big stat, which after today's game, the Warriors lost to the Mavs. So in the Steve Kerr era, with Steph Curry, the Warriors are 254-47. So they've won 84% of their games with Steph Curry.
That's pretty good.
With him out of the lineup, they're 22-21. So they've nearly lost as many games as they've won when Steph Curry sits.
Well, he just affects their chemistry so much. That loss to the Rockets was the first time since 2013 that a Warriors starter hasn't hit a three.
Wow.
Bang. So, like, it's not just the players on there; it's the effect he has. Like we've been saying, he is their Jenga piece. Like, to steal someone else's term. But
we've used Jenga piece a lot now. Yeah. It's our term now.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, well, he's the Jenga piece, bro.
So the Warriors were lucky because they got a lot of wins to start the season. So they're still 12-5.
They weren't lucky.
Not lucky, as in, yes, they were fortunate to have picked up.
Get off that back, Alden.
I've been only positive. another team that's been good, and again, we're just looking at these standings now. The Clippers have been on a little bit of a tear lately.
Oh, yeah.
All of a sudden, they're fourth in the West. They're a team that before the season, when everyone tried to put together, you know, this quote-unquote stacked Western Conference, they weren't really a team that people thought would be up there. But all of a sudden, they are. And can I throw a hot take out there? You can agree or disagree, of course. Lou Williams, is he a max player?
I think he's aged.
Wait, no, sorry. You didn't throw out a hot take there. You asked the question.
What's I think Lou Williams is a max player.
Is he too old?
The answer
is no. As in, like, currently, if he max contract. As in, let's say before this season, and a team had a max contract to give, is he one of them? I think he is.
It's a weird argument to have because you'd think you match max contracts with starting players, and I don't think. And Lou isn't a starting player. He plays best off the bench, but he plays big minutes.
You know what? There was a quote or something that he said. Yeah, I don't start games, but I finish them.
Yeah,
like, that's the most boss line anyone's ever said. Yeah. But the answer is no. I mean, like,
all right, cool. wait.
That's just no, and you're an idiot.
I mean, productivity. There's worse players with max contracts.
So that's what I'm.
Is Barnes on a max contract?
Yeah,
because I'd rather.
But I guess
Williams.
The assumption was that Barnes is going to get better. Like, yeah, Lou Williams is not going to get better.
But egg on face much. He was still Harrison Barnes.
Harrison Barnes, 23 points to get today against his former team.
Great.
It'd just be a hard sell to the fan base. Oh, guess what? Yeah. We've got a great.
That's all it is. It's just perception, hey.
My favorite Lou Williams game is to, like, as in a game I play, not his games, is to go to the box score, see that he's got like 25 points. Then look at he's like 4-15 from the field, and you're like, how did he do it? And then you look over to the free throws, and he's like 19-20.
He's 95% this season.
He gets to the line better than anyone else in the league.
And he's a baller.
Yeah. And the Clippers have, like, you know, they've only beaten the Warriors, the Bucks, and the Spurs in the last week. That's not bad.
It's very impressive.
And what's also impressive is their losses. So their losses have been at Portland, at Philly, at OKC in the middle of that run that they're currently on.
They're tough.
At the Pelks, and they lost
What's
their...
The Pelks?
Pelicans.
Oh, yeah, at New Orleans, yeah.
Yeah, and they lost their home opener against Denver, but like they're good losses.
Yeah.
So, they've had a tough schedule.
But why it's a hard sell, like, okay, the Clippers are good, is because when they're playing a good team, they don't have anyone that's in the top three players on the court.
No.
You know? But yet they win. Like, they've just got... Everyone's bought in.
Is Doc Rivers a better coach with these sort of players than he is with superstars?
Well, he gets to prove that he is. But isn't Jerry West pulling the strings there now?
Yeah, in terms of like player acquisition and stuff. Yeah,
like the rest of his life has compensated for the fact that he lost so many NBA finals. You know what I mean, life is just paying him back tenfold. Everything he touches,
yeah, turns to gold.
Even a Clippers team where your best player is what, Lou Williams off the bench,
or Tobias Harris,
or Harris.
Mm.
Oh, Montrezl Harrell, but we'll get to that.
So you don't think? Okay, I'm very
still talk about Lou Williams' max contract.
I'm very willing to die on it. Lou Williams is a max player. Hill.
So Ogun's dead.
Yeah. No. Look, if Harrison Barnes and Andrew Wiggins are max players, I think Lou Williams is going to.
Yeah, but that's
more
like.
When they were signed to max deals,
out the window, and my feelings are taken over. No. All right, bro.
When they were signed to max deals, there was an assumption they were going to get better.
Yeah.
There was an assumption that Wiggins was going... Like, no one thought Wiggins was that
When you saw Harrison Barnes in the finals when he was missing those opening threes, it was like, oh, he will get that. I guarantee it.
I don't think there was anyone happier than Warriors fans that, when Dallas offered him that max contract. Because if he was available for, like, a reasonable price after that bad finals, like, I could have seen the Warriors actually signing him to a deal. But he got money thrown at him and it was taken out of their hands at the end of the day. And then they got...
Thank God.
They got Kevin Durant, and that's going really well.
Here we are.
So we were speaking about max players. I brought up Wiggins for a bit. The Timberwolves are 3-0 since trading Jimmy Butler. Are they going to make the finals now as well?
No.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm not surprised. Sorry, Gardy. Yeah, I'm not surprised that they've won these games, like the honeymoon period, the pressure's off.
Right.
But Carl Anthony Towns proved that Jimmy Butler was correct to question his mental fortitude, because when Butler played, he was so poor. He was so clearly affected.
He cracked.
Right. And it is a long season. When it gets into a grind, when there are games that matter, Carl Anthony Towns might turn into a player that you can depend on in crunch when it comes to a player's mentality. But at the moment, I don't buy it, especially with Wiggins. Is Wiggins their second best player?
Yeah.
Oh, no, they're not making they're not making the finals when there's so many teams out of the top eight now that have to win.
I was clearly joking when I said, are they a finals team? I think they're a borderline playoff team.
I reckon they make playoffs. I reckon they sneak into the playoffs at the end of the season.
I'm not
buying. I don't have too strong a take on the T-Wolves at the moment, because I think we have to see like a couple more games to see what they look like without Butler. Although my favorite stat of the week was Covington in his first game as a Timberwolf playing 41
minutes.
41 minutes.
And welcome to Thibodeau.
Thibodeau just can't help himself. He's like, like, he's the guy's in. No. Covington's going to play every single minute. That was my best.
Yeah.
So another team in the West, the Thunder. So in our first podcast, or like our second podcast, I think they would have been 0-4 at that point.
Yeah.
And we didn't write them off, but we were like, oh, is there an issue here?
Are they bad?
Are they going to be this bad? Of course, they didn't have Ross for a lot of that. All of a sudden, the Thunder are 10-5.
And they've done this without Ross.
Yeah, but
they've done it without Ross. They had Ross for a tiny bit of it, but they've done it mostly without him, and they're third in the West.
11 from the last 12.
Right. So they've been one of the hottest teams, you know, Of like the second half of the season, the shorter the season's been. Are they a team that can genuinely stay amongst, you know, the upper echelon of the West? When you look, you've got the Warriors, you've got your, you know, the Nuggets, the Rockets when they start doing some stuff, the Jazz when they start doing some stuff too. Can the Thunder stay up there?
I don't think so.
I think they can stay in the top four.
You think? I just don't think they're talented. Nah,
if you look at who they've played over this time, they've played the Suns twice, the Knicks, the Mavericks. The Rockets that they beat, which is impressive, beat them by 18. They played the Cavaliers.
So that was the Rockets with Miller.
Yeah, and the Wizards.
Okay. Sorry.
They've beaten the Wizards. They beat the Pelicans in there, another impressive one, but the Pelicans haven't been what we thought they were going to be, or what they were at the start of the season.
Right.
And the Hornets.
Yeah.
And then the Suns again.
So we have no faith.
So they played the Suns three times in that period.
It's not that I have no faith. It's just a talent thing, because you look from like five down in the West, and it's Grizzlies, Nuggets, Pels, Rockets. Like, apart from maybe the Grizzlies, like, those other teams are all more talented than the Thunder roster, in my opinion. And while they have a pretty good, like, great defense, the Thunder, I just don't see them, even when Russ comes back, having enough talent to match it with the best in the West.
I think...
That rhymed.
So it must be true.
I wish the audience could see Guardy's smile.
He's a child.
Yeah. But like you said, they've got a good defense, right?
Yeah.
If they can keep it tight in most games, then you turn to Paul George and Russell Westbrook in the fourth quarter. That's a recipe for some wins.
Yeah.
So, and the question was, can they stay up? I think they can. It is going to be tough. But shout out to Dennis Schroeder while we're talking about OKC. He's been... If I'll be honest, if he wasn't on my fantasy team, I'd be like, is that the guy with that little blonde boot in his hair?
Well, he's gone now.
Is it?
Yeah, he cut it out.
There you go.
He's taking basketball serious now.
Ooh. He's taking life serious now.
He gave it to that Swiss dude.
That little dude. Capella.
Capella.
Yeah. Hold this, bro.
Do you reckon they just knocked heads and it kind of... I wish it worked.
I'm pretty sure that's exactly what happened. But yeah, Schroeder's like every time his plus minus finishes in the positive, OKC... have won. Every time it's been in the negative, they've lost. But it's just a stark contrast. Games of like plus 25, plus 17, but in the losses, it's minus 15. So it's weird how important he has been to their success. Although it doesn't always look like that when you're watching the games, but he's been integral, especially when Russell Westbrook hasn't been there.
I agree. And the Rockets last year compared to this year is basically they've kept their weird array of athletic wings who can't shoot. But they took out Melo and added Schroeder. And that's just...
OKC.
That's just OKC has. Yeah. And that's just kind of improved them, you know, like three or fourfold. Especially when last year... Again, like you said, defensively, they were fine last year. They were really, really good. It's just offensively, they couldn't get anything to go. They expected Melo to be, you know, Olympic Melo next to Russ and next to PG.
I would have taken Hoodie Melo. but it is like, what was that show where you date the dude, you date Chuck, and then you get married? Anyone say that?
Oh, maybe? Good luck, Chuck.
Good luck, Chuck.
Yeah.
Is he like that? Is he like that for basketball teams?
Who, Melo?
Yeah, because OKC... doing really well since Melo bailed. Rockets are undefeated since
Melo
bailed.
Yeah, but the Knicks still suck. So
yeah, Knicks are,
and Denver,
Knicks have, oh, Knicks are cursed by the worst owner in all of American sports. Tough getting out of that hole.
I like that movie reference, though.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. I rate that.
Yeah, where's Dane Cook?
Where's Dane Cook?
Yeah, apparently he's stealing jokes. That's just something
But he's always stolen jokes.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that until heard it.
Everyone knows that, like, Dane Cook and, like, Carlos Mencia... probably steal jokes. I'm saying probably. I'm saying probably because
that's the guy Joe Rogan like had a go at.
Allegedly,
right? Yeah, Carlos Mencia.
Oh,
I'm not sure.
Pretty sure he stole jokes from George Lopez.
Allegedly.
George. Yeah, I have to try allegedly. We're legitimate.
I can be that guy. I'll throw out the allegedly.
Thank you. Big up to George Lopez.
I think
Lopez,
this is though. For a different podcast.
George Lopez, big Lakers fan. If you haven't seen that George Lopez TV show.
George Lopez, didn't he get his kidney off his wife and then divorce her?
No.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Allegedly.
Yeah, best fact check me, those listeners. But yeah, I'm pretty sure he did the dirty with a kidney.
He's one of my favorite comedians.
Oh,
that's, George Lopez.
George Lopez is so funny.
Don't tell other people.
Yeah, wow.
We're on a podcast.
I wouldn't go around being like...
Where? That's...
Why?
But how?
I don't know why. I find it funny. And when he talks about Mexican things and then the crowd really gets into it, I'm like, like, I want to be a part of that.
No, that's fine. You know, who are we, Tom?
Yeah.
Hogan is allowed to...
Yeah. You can like whoever you want. Whatever bad comedians you want to like, you can enjoy that.
There you go.
I mean, like, we're not going to go into this because, like, I still think Louis C.K. is very funny.
Oh.
Notwithstanding his...
Can we censor this out?
No, like...
Yeah. No, you can say Louis C.K. is funny. Let's just, can we, basketball.
Just want to clarify that Louis C.K. can be funny and you can still condemn his
and that's what we're doing.
His actions.
Condemning and moving on.
Yeah, moving on.
It's just,
how about them?
Just way to just break it up there.
Imagine sitting next to Kawhi in a, like, a comedy show.
Oh, twice as funny.
No, you'd be us in a move halfway.
Yeah, I don't care how many finals MVPs you've won. My guy, you need to move.
It's just one.
Yeah, it's enough.
Speaking of Kawhi, thank you. The Raptors, are they just going to make the finals just easily?
Making the finals?
I've not mentioned that many. I have mentioned most. Everyone's making the finals.
Yeah, everyone's making
as the in, like, they're the top,
everyone's got a chance.
Look, they're the top of the East, and I think, like, probably the most consistent team this entire season.
It's a weird time to say. They've lost, I think, two of their last three or three of their last four. But, you know, when Kawhi starts playing back-to-back, then they're going to be nasty down the stretch.
Mm.
But that's why this season's so good, though, Ogun, is the fact that it could be Celtic, it could be Philly, it could be...
This is as wide open as it's been in a really long time.
Since I was thinking about it,
still very close.
Yeah, it's just because LeBron's going
on. But even in the West, like, there's... If you look at who's in the current... And I'm sorry for interrupting you, Ted. If you just look at who's in this top eight, you know, you've got... The Trailblazers are number two at the second seed, who no one really would have expected. The Clippers are up there. The Grizzlies are in there.
Well, they're all tied with each other. Three through five.
The West is like a battle to see who's going to lose to Warriors.
That's what I mean.
I don't think the East has been this fun since LeBron was taking on Pierce and Garnett. Like, when was the other best East Conference Finals? It was probably Indiana versus the Heat, which says something. Because that Indiana team was, you know, upon reflection, quite boring.
Wait, the Indiana team with Roy Hibbert, David West.
Yeah. Keep on rattling off, bored on
George Hill,
Lance Stevenson. George Hill was a starter there.
George Hill was a starter.
He's now a starter for a Cavs team that's 2-12.
Oh, Ted's dark horse eighth spot.
How's that going?
Yeah.
I remember that was cool. That was the Roy Hibbert verticality year when the Pacers were allowing like 80 points a game or something close to that.
Yeah. Fun.
Fun fact as well. If you ever play with that Pacers team on 2K, which you can because they're a classic team
now.
David West is just unstoppable.
Really?
Just, you can go ham with David West. Oh. It's the silliest thing, because now you have David West and he's just like, he can shoot some like 15 footers.
Yeah.
And that is all of his abilities.
Yeah. You can also go ham with Zach Collins. So, not really saying much.
That's true. The last thing that we've got to hit on, we spoke about it a little bit, but Melo, he's obviously gone from the Rockets.
Mm.
He lasted 10 games there.
Oof.
Is Melo.
Good work, Melo.
Is he. I don't want to say, is he still an NBA player? Because he's still capable.
Yeah. You just said David West is still playing in the league, and then you're like, is Melo an NBA player?
David West is not
playing. Yeah, David West is gone.
But as in, like, David West last season, for example, was. He knew his role.
No, Melo
and,
like, is,
and he's, he obviously was comfortable in his role.
He doesn't have an overinflated ego of.
Right, Melo ain't David West. He's not going to go and say, I'm okay to come off the bench and play 10 minutes and hit some.
I thought that's what he said when he went to Houston.
No, he was okay to be sixth man and come off the bench, but he was still expecting big minutes.
He's still expected to be their third option offensive. Yeah.
Right.
Like, whether he came off the bench or was starting, he wanted to be the guy that if James Harden or Chris Paul wasn't taking a shot, it was Melo. And that's not going to work out because he's not good enough to be that. He is definitely an NBA player still.
Mm.
I just don't know who wants him. Like, who's like, you know what? What would be helpful, Melo? Because it's not like he's one of those vets that's going to, I don't know. It doesn't seem like he's one of the vets that's like helping out the young guys.
I've got one spot.
I also have one, and can I write it down? And can we see if it's the same one?
Yes, please.
This is unnecessary drama for a podcast where people can't see this.
Hey.
But I'll narrate it. Hey. All right, Olgan's written something. Ted has not.
Ted, say it. Yeah, no. No.
Is this Jeopardy?
Ted says it, and I'll reveal mine.
Ted could lie.
Whoa. No, mine's the Spurs.
No! Boo!
Tell them what I've written. They can't see it.
76.
There's a spot
just
there.
I'll explain mine super quickly. We were just talking about how they need a shooter and perhaps another front court guy. Oh, who's a front court guy?
Yeah, but he can't shoot threes.
But the thing, he can though. But if he's on a team where he knows that he's not the first, second, third, or even fourth option, because JJ Redick is better than him. He's a fifth option on a team coming off the bench.
Yeah, he's not gonna sit there and be like, yeah, you're right.
Markel Fultz, Carmelo Anthony, that tandem off the bench. Melo two players who
Jimmy
are definitely
Butler,
not broken.
They're gonna go.
Okay.
Leave. I kind of like your Spurs idea.
Spurs.
I kind of do.
In 2K,
like,
this works. Spurs. Just saying.
Spurs are.
We're playing Fallout. We're not playing 2K.
Fallout 76. That's in stores now, guys. That came out November 14. That's in stores now.
Yeah, continue, Ted.
Spurs.
No, I like it.
Why Spurs?
They still love the mid-range. And San Antonio is the place where the egos of basketball players go to die. You know,
you can't have one with Pop.
You know, who knows? Maybe Kawhi Leonard went to San Antonio with a personality. Who knows?
Hey, man, he's a pretty fun guy.
Yeah. But, yeah, they love the mid-range, and Popovich is Popovich. You know, he demands respect from absolutely everyone involved in NBA, even people that don't like.
And there's the Team USA connection as well.
Exactly. Exactly. And even people that don't like Pop, respect him.
Yeah. Like, no matter who you are,
from
you can't.
PTI comes to mind. There's heaps that, before they slag him, they'll say, I understand that he is Popovich and he is great. Mm. So I think, you know, I'd like that too. There's not too many places that would get me excited in terms of a Carmelo Anthony landing spot, but that one. I'd like to see it.
I don't mind that at all.
Yeah, I think it's time for him to just give up, to be honest. Just have it.
Easy for us to say.
Yeah,
but he wants to get up tomorrow and get paid to play basketball.
Of course he does. But
you've got that opportunity.
He's already been paid like $350 million over his career.
Yeah, to not play basketball.
Yeah.
So many teams have paid him to not be on their team.
Mm. Oh, is something like the Hawks paid him $1.4 million a day, I think it was.
Imagine being the Hawks. Imagine being how bad they are. And paying someone to make sure he doesn't play for you.
Yeah.
They are really bad at the moment.
What's it, I think it was Richard Jefferson on The Jump the other day put in the best perspective for me. He's like, if you look at the other players that Carmelo came through with in the draft, pretty much like Dwayne Wade on his way up.
Yeah.
Dwayne Wade's on his farewell tour. Chris Bosh is out of the league for medical reasons. Chris Kaman. Kurt Heinrich.
Where's Darko Milicic?
Nick Collison. Darko Milicic.
Milicic,
he was the
number two pick.
I don't know where he is currently.
No, I know where he is.
Probably sitting on his
couch. He operates a cherry farm in his home village.
Oh, delightful. I love cherries.
Told me about that guy before, or is there another dude with a cherry farm village?
No, this is the guy. We had a conversation about this in the office. We had
Is everyone growing cherries?
He did one kickboxing fight lost the fight.
Oh.
And then began to grow cherries.
You know what would be better than getting my face kicked? Cherries.
Imagine being like, I'm going to start a fighting career and then go out, lose, and finish 0-1. Yeah. Like, just forever be 0-1.
Yeah.
Imagine
just
like,
defeated.
I feel like that's very like CM it's Punky, fitting. Where it's just like, yeah. I'm going to be an MMA fighter. Oh, no, pretend wrestling is so much fun.
Mm.
Like,
I played soccer from under fives to under nines. Only scored one goal. It was an own goal.
Oh.
So my career record was minus one.
That's why you're not on our futsal team, I think.
I was flat-footed as a kid, so thanks for hitting that sore point.
I was flat-footed as well when I was...
Yeah, I came good after inner soles. Give me a ball. I'll kick it.
I'll kick it. Yeah, man.
You're on the aren't you on the Filipino national team for rugby league?
I used to play, yeah. But we work weekends here, so.
Oh no.
No more footy.
We broke your dream.
No, I mean the dream was to play for the Philippines and
did you?
Yeah.
You did, hey, yeah.
You did, yeah. For two codes.
God, he's surprised.
Yeah. I did not know that.
Didn't yeah,
forget about it. I'm not surprised though. Like I didn't know it, but like I'm somehow not surprised.
He's very
well. I am Filipino and big, so yeah. It's like,
yeah.
It's not touching.
Mate, this is why I don't bring it up because you know where do you go from here?
I just was a nice thing to say.
Like, no, thanks, man. Shout out to the Philippines.
Shout out to the Philippines. Ted's Filipino.
Yes.
Yeah, you can tell by the accent
and the name.
what's your full name? If you I don't want to use
Edward like Arthur Smith the Third. My dad's just funny, not rich.
That's good. Right. Michael Petras was picked in the same draft as Carmelo Anthony.
Petras.
Yeah.
I liked Michael Petras a lot.
Yeah. Boris Diaw, Travis Outlaw.
Can we do trivia real quick? Who knows what Michael Petras' brother's name is? Don't look it up. Don't look it up. Don't look it up. Don't
Peter.
Look
it up.
Pierre. Got it. Just the French Peter.
Gotti? Gotti, stop.
Guys, stop Googling it.
It's Gotti's Googling it. It's Florence.
I was going to guess that. I wasn't Googling that.
Why is this a thing?
No, just because you mentioned Michael Petras and it's a fact I know.
Florence Petras.
Yeah. Florence Petras. He was like a dominant dude in Europe. Super athletic.
He was on that Magic team that went to the finals.
Florence was?
Michael was.
Sounds like
I thought you were talking about Florence, eh? Okay.
Are we unpaused right now?
No, we're unpaused now.
Oh, okay, cool. Sweet.
Yeah.
Cool, just a heads up, everyone. We paused the pod for like a minute.
We're so sorry.
To check the time. We're back now. Thank you for remaining with us.
Do not panic.
So we wanted to take a look, you know, at the season we've had so far with regard to certain players. There are guys who are doing well and we're acknowledging how well they're doing, but there are guys who... we either don't have time to talk about how well they're doing, or it's just that their respective performances are going under the radar. So that's why I kind of wanted to go around to everybody. We'll start with Tom. Who's the guy who is falling under the radar? The guy who's performing really, really well, but isn't getting, you know, the respect for it, the accolades or anything like that.
Yeah, I had difficulty narrowing it down because I created a little short list of like guys I really like. People like Jeremy Grant, who I think is having a great year, both offensively, and he's upping his game offensively as well.
Yeah.
Was it Shelvin Mack was another one that I thought was the best statistically out of the list that I found, but I just don't really like the guy and I don't like the Grizzlies, so I couldn't put all my heart into it and be like, you know what, you're my guy.
I mean, as Australians, I think most of us have had that feeling towards Shelvin Mack because he's always, for some reason, been in front of Dante Exum in the rotation at the Jazz. Interestingly, he had his best game against the Jazz as a Grizzly this season.
Yeah.
And he kind of showed them, I guess.
Michael Kidd-Gilchrist was the guy that I reckon is going to be on the list next year. He's actually, like, now that he's changed his role, they've pushed him down a bit more and he's coming off the bench finally.
Yeah.
He's really, he's putting up almost the exact same numbers and better rebounds, but playing five less minutes a game and coming off the bench, which I think is really impressive, kind of understanding your role and molding to it without actually losing any kind of efficiency. But the guy that I put it down to...
This is the guy now.
Yeah, he's my guy. My guy that I've actually watched quite a lot of this year because Portland and LA seem to have played like 70 times already this season.
Name him.
Alpha. Hey, just trying to build some suspense here.
Yeah, we won't all have like a list of
things. Yeah, I don't get a lot of mic time in this, all right? So I'm going to take as best opportunity as I can get.
Aww.
Here. So Al Farouk Aminu is my guy, and I think he's been around for a while, obviously. Yeah. He's been 8 years now, I think. And he's really just coming into his own and finding his niche in the Portland Trail Blazers. While he's played there for 4 years now, and he's played well. That he's actually starting to find his spot. He's taking less shots, but being more efficient with those shots, being more efficient with those possessions. He's playing the same defense. He's just the same. He's the exact same defensive rating as he was last year, but his offensive rating's gone from, I think it's 105 to 114. So he's realizing how to be efficient in the offense whilst doing his thing on defense as well.
Yeah. I guess, and he's always been a really good perimeter defender.
Mm, yeah.
It's just offensively. That jump shot's really plagued him, I guess.
Yeah, but it's
gone a lot better.
Yeah, he's actually in the month of November alone, he's shooting 45% from three.
Dang.
Yeah, which is super impressive.
And he's legitimately a big reason why the Trailblazers are the second seed in the West now.
Yeah, yeah. And if you look surprisingly. Plus and minus of the team, like while he's on the court, has gone from 5.1 last year to 9.3 this year. So obviously he's contributing, like everything that you want would go down, or his usage rate's gone down, his turnover rate's gone down, like I said before. And he's just shooting more consistently from three, but he's shooting less of them.
Ah.
Which is really, I just find really impressive. He's fitting in his role, and that seems what the Trailblazers are all about, is all their role players knowing their role, understanding their role, and just executing it perfectly. Like Evan Turner was one of the other guys that was on my short list. I love that dude as well.
Oh, yeah. By all means, keep on rattling off names, Tom.
Yeah. Well, I thought we were having a discussion here. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Discussion. Speech.
We appreciate all the NBA players.
Yeah. Righto.
How much would you guys hate me if I did another trivia? What is Al-Farouq Aminu's brother's name? He's also an NBA. He's not an NBA player, but he was a fringe NBA
player.
Is it
guy. Along the lines of Al-Farouq, or is it?
I mean, it's a long, sure.
Okay.
And he played for the Nigerian national team as well.
Okay.
No, really solid.
Shocker. I don't know his brother's name.
It's Alade Aminu.
Oh, it's
I'm pretty sure they're both like princes.
Mm. See, it's sweet. Not, trivia's not fun when like the questions are bad and you only like definitely you're the only one.
Very niche.
All right. I'm going to skip you. Ted, who's your guy? Who's the guy who you think is falling
Mr.
under the radar?
Gallinari.
Yeah.
Danilo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clippers only right now.
Only putting up 90. Sorry, mate. Only putting up 90 points a game in one of the best teams at the moment. We already spoke about him, obviously. But he's another reason why they're winning.
Totally.
This other guy for the Clippers, I only noticed him this season. His name sounds like, I'm so sorry, it sounds like a Snoop Dogg word.
Montrezl Harrell, and let me.
Montrezl Harrell.
Is it Montrezl Harrell?
Yeah. Montrezl.
That's my man.
Yeah, Montrezl.
I'm sorry.
Oh, segue. Go.
Can I actually, Danilo Gallinari? I'm going to stop you there because Gutty just loves Montrezl Harrell too much. Gallinari, a few years ago, Mike D'Antoni said that Gallinari was the best shooter he's ever seen. And just think of all the shooters that Mike D'Antoni would have had.
He can't stay upright. That's
right.
His only problem. He's never had a drama scoring points. So if he can stay fit,
he's only had two seasons that he's played more than 70 games.
They'll be buzzing around annoying the teams that want to make the playoffs or think they're sure things for sure if Gallinari stays fit.
And it makes sense that you've picked the Clipper and Gard has also picked the Clipper, considering they're the fourth seed in the West and everyone's focusing on the Lakers naturally because of LeBron.
Under the radar.
Totally. And so they're all falling under the radar.
So Montrezl Harrell, he hasn't been under the radar for me for a couple of years.
I know.
Back in the Rockets days, I was telling Ogun that Montrezl Harrell was like the most undervalued player in the NBA. And now that he's at the Clippers, and he is gaining a bit more attention now.
Yeah.
But just to put his numbers into perspective, he's playing just under 24 minutes a game off the bench. He's averaging 14.5 points on 68% shooting, 6.5 rebounds, 1.5 assists, and just under 2 blocks a game. Off the bench, the guy is an absolute monster. Like, no one can stop him. He's got such a limited game. Like, he does not have a jump shot, and the guy can just get to the rim every single time. He's such an effective finisher.
Slippery.
Proper energy guy. He's the perfect guy in a Doc Rivers system, and he's a big part, again, of why the Clippers, without a genuine superstar, just keep winning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. Is he, like, not because he looks similar to him, but is he like, prime Nene? Does he have? He's got a similar style of play where very, very kind of
slightly less athletic, Kenneth Faried.
Because I'm looking at him and he's very smooth with the ball.
Mm.
As in, he looks like a sports person, right? With the ball in his hand. Mm. So that's just the way I see it with Nene as well back then. I don't know. I think there's a little corollary there.
Mm. I'll give it to
you. Most definitely. To even Gary, just back up your numbers and more that we talked about before. In their last six games where they're 5-1, he's averaging 17.5 points a game on almost just a tick under 72% shooting and 8 rebounds, 2 blocks a game.
It's not an exaggeration to say that he is actually one of the most efficient offensive players in the NBA.
Because
the statistics actually back it up. Another big man, though, that I do want to give a shout-out to is Andre Drummond, because I feel like the Pistons, they're in the sixth seed, but they don't get a lot of attention, and if they do get attention, it's normally to Blake Griffin. Andre Drummond's averaging 18.9 points a game and 16.4 rebounds a game. Like, that's absolutely ridiculous. If he keeps that up for the season, like, I don't know, that's as good as you can expect from a guy like Andre.
They're superstar numbers.
Yeah,
which means he's the least spoken about superstar in the NBA.
Like no one would ever point to him as the best center in the league. When you talk about that, you've got like DeMarcus Cousins last year, you've got Anthony Davis and Joel Embiid. No one ever says Andre Drummond.
But he's
it's a conversation.
It is, and literally no one talks about him. But these numbers are stupidly good.
Yeah,
like he's an all-star in the East.
So I just noticed the Pistons are sixth in the East.
Yeah.
How bad is the East?
Yeah, they're one game over 500.
But the Magic, I also get it's very early.
Mm.
But the Magic are the seventh seed.
Yeah.
The Hornets are the eighth seed, and then they're under 500.
Hornets could get the eighth spot, I think.
Oh no, they totally can. Right now, they totally can. Considering when you look at just this whole East,
East is very top heavy.
And look at the teams that aren't playoff contention now. None of them are getting it. Caps, Hawks, Bulls, Knicks, Wizards might. Heat might. Nets have still got to prove some stuff.
Olgan.
Hey, Gardy.
Who's your player that's under the radar?
Good question, Gardy.
My player is Monte Morris. So he's the backup point guard for the Denver Nuggets. And he's just been balling out. He's in his second year in the league. And he's arguably playing as efficiently as Jamal Murray. I'd argue more efficiently than him. Like, statistically, he is. But when he comes on, just good things happen. And I think he's a very underrated piece on this Nuggets team that's playing really well, or like they started the season playing really well. Everyone points to Nikola Jokic and Gary Harris taking another step up and all those sorts of things. But I think Monte Morris coming off the bench, especially for Jamal Murray, who, you know, notwithstanding his 48-point game, hasn't been shooting the ball that well. Monte Morris has been. He's one of the more reliable guard options for that team.
What does that mean for Isaiah Thomas when he comes back?
I think Monte Morris has been playing well enough that you can't take him out of that rotation. He's a genuine integral part of that rotation now.
Isaiah will have to earn his minutes when he gets back.
Right.
Not on 2K, they're starting Isaiah, which is great.
That is so true. Jamal Murray comes off the bench. Hey.
Yeah. So I'm a point guard in my league. When I play Isaiah, it's just... I go to town on that little
buckets. Absolute buckets.
Eyes light up. They're starting Thomas.
Oh, it's terrific. If you forget Sixers versus the Nuggets, just straight up post up Ben Simmons every time. That's not fair.
That's cheap.
He's literally got a foot on him. More than a foot. So conversely, we've looked at guys who are going under the radar. Who are some guys who need to be better? So guys who haven't been playing well, guys we expected to play well or that should be playing well, who just haven't lived up to, you know, the billing. Thomas?
Donovan Mitchell's my guy, I think.
Yeah.
He's trying too hard to be the star in Utah, where last year he was kind of just, you know, doing his thing, and he was just like unexpected, really. So
in a good system.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But now he's just pushing up shots. He's trying to fight for the ball. He's just doing too much. Like the best stat I saw the other day was scored 31 points on 35 shots with no assists. And the last player to do that was Carmelo Anthony in New York, who scored 61 points or 63 points on the same amount of shots and no assists.
That also seemed quite desperate because I was against the Sixers, right?
Mm.
It was against Ben Simmons. And like, I get it. You're trying to be the man against the dude you lost Rookie of the Year to. But chill out. Everyone saw through it.
Yeah.
it was a bit embarrassing. Yeah.
And it was a game where the Jazz were actually staying in it regardless of all these misses. It was like, if you had just given 10 of those shots to someone else, Jazz probably win that game in the end.
Correct.
My one's is an obvious one. John Wall.
Yeah.
I know he puts up big numbers at times, 28 points versus the Heat, 20-odd versus, I think it was the Magic, but again, he scored 8 points today, or yesterday, sorry. So given that he's 29, that's your prime right there.
Yeah.
You're right in it. And
right.
to have – but Wizards usually start slow, but for him to start so slow and to just keep on having the same issues –
right.
It's always been, Beal and Wall. Okay, then blow it up. You know,
yeah.
Do something else. But, yeah, to be one of the fastest players, most skilled players, and to claim to be one of the best point guards. 2 years ago, they said they were the best backcourt in the NBA. Remember that?
Yeah.
And he has eyes, so he's seen Clay and Curry play.
Can confirm John Wall has eyes.
Two eyes, yeah.
And I'd even argue that Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum's a better backcourt than those.
There's quite a few. Yeah.
I'll listen to you. But, so disappointing to score 8 points. Yeah, they beat the Cavs, but to score 8 points against the Cavs, come on.
It's not even just his production. It's just his, you know, he's supposed to be the leader for that team.
Yeah, he's
just clearly not doing
it. He's not the tide that floats the boats around him, you know.
That's beautiful.
That's really nice.
He's just a constant.
It's like a wall that's keeping the boats in.
Wee. And he's in Washington, and because it's.
Oh,
Trump.
Wow, that was the. Okay.
Maybe Trump wants to build the wall.
Maybe we should.
Let's discuss immigration policy.
Oh, yeah. Worked well for my mum. This country or.
No.
We'll talk about that. Gutty, who's someone who you think should be playing a bit better or a lot better?
As much as I respect everyone's answers, I feel like my answer is the right answer.
Okay. we can all be somewhat
necessary, but continue.
We'll be somewhat correct.
No, because this is a guy that not only was expected to do big things this year, but was a lot of people's pick for most improved player. Like, who's going to be?
It's my pick.
Yeah, he was actually your pick. Yeah. I didn't want to rub that in, but Miles Turner, what are you doing in Indiana? He is
nothing.
Pretty much. He's averaging just under or around 11 points a game and about 5 rebounds a game and 2 blocks. And that is it. Like, his game has gone nowhere. He has plateaued, if not gotten worse. I'm pretty sure all his numbers are down from last year.
Yep.
In a year where he was supposed to take the big step up, it was supposed to be Miles Turner's year. And, like, I don't know if the form of Domantas Sabonis has had something to do with this, and it's kind of killed his vibe a little bit because, like, Sabonis is the big man that's actually dominating in Indiana.
Yeah.
But Turner has been, like, so disappointing. If you're talking about a big man that is kind of a bit iffy, and we've been talking about Karl Anthony Towns for the past, like, month, yeah. Miles Turner's, like, a worse Karl Anthony Towns. He's a dude with a massive skill set, like, incredible physical gifts, and he is playing like a below-average center in the league.
It always irks me when the solution looks like the player just has to care more.
100%, yeah.
You know, that annoys me. Like, just care more, you know. have some pride in your work.
Because he's a guy who everyone had the expectations because it was the postseason where he played really, really well. And everyone thought, okay, he'll carry that over to a good regular season. And then he went through an off season of doing a lot of yoga, getting his body right, changing his diet. So everyone thought, okay, he's going to do it. And then he didn't.
Mm.
And then there's so much expectation around him because the Pacers at this point are still, they're the third seed in the East. They're a good team. Victor Oladipo took that step into what's probably like a borderline superstar. And they're almost a Miles Turner becoming a star away from competing for a spot at the top of the East.
Yeah, the Pacers are in the third seed, and he's almost had nothing to do with it.
He hasn't had double-digit rebounds in a single game this year.
That's insane.
Wow.
That's ridiculous. And he's shooting 46% from the field.
Yeah.
He's a center. And he's not even taking... He's taking 1-3 a game, and I think he's shooting like 12% or something.
Yeah.
15, like, or just under 16. So
yeah, take less three-pointers.
So, yeah, he's my guy, and he's the correct
he's
answer
just so
to this
bad.
Question.
I had three names who...
Oh, they're Tom.
Not, Yeah, but this is gonna last like a minute, though. So, yeah.
Oh, sorry for trying to inform the crowd. Yeah, geez, trying to educate people here.
All right.
Okay.
So I've just three names. So Otto Porter is one for me. These guys aren't necessarily playing bad, but they're not playing up to scratch. Ricky Rubio is another one for me.
Oh.
And Terry Rozier. So these are all guys who, other than Ricky, so you got Otto Porter and Terry Rozier, they're two dudes who we thought were going to take the next step. Again, the same thing with Terry Rozier coming off of good playoffs. He was supposed to come in, and I understand that Kyrie's back, Gordon Hayward's back, but he's supposed to be the person off the bench who's going to light it up. He hasn't been that guy. Marcus Morris has pretty much been that dude for the Celtics. Otto Porter's the same, where the Wizards are struggling. Not a lot of it, but some of it has to do with the fact that he's just not the, you know, the close to max player that they really want him to be, especially on the wing.
Yeah.
And Ricky Rubio is just, he just looks like a shell of what he was last season. He's to the point where
he's having his worst shooting season, which is saying something.
Right. And especially because when he entered the league, he wasn't a great shooter, but he got a lot better. To the point where I sometimes think, should Dante Exum be starting? Does he work better with this system? It's not a conversation.
Yeah.
It's like a legitimate conversation to have, and that's worrying, considering Ricky Rubio is a very good player.
Yeah.
He's one of the best kind of pure point guards in the league.
Well, Exum's been upright for almost 10 months now or something, right?
I mean, he got injured. He had a small injury.
Came back at the end of last year.
He had a slight injury at the end of the playoffs.
Yeah.
That was a hamstring injury, I believe. But beyond that, he's been relatively healthy.
Yeah.
From what I've seen, it looks like his ceiling is something that is still a positive in the future for Utah. Like he still has a lot of potential. He's looking more confident.
And that's why they gave him that contract, because he showed enough. The funny thing about Ricky Rubio is that I feel like every time I watch the Jazz play, which is quite often, I don't see him miss threes. And then he makes the three. Then the commentator goes, Ricky Rubio's 27% from three this year. And I'm like, I don't believe it. I've only seen this guy make threes. Yet to see him rattle one off. But yeah, I'll buy it.
Oh, yeah. He seems sad.
Who was your second one?
Terry Rozier is one of them, and Otto Porter's the other.
I think Terry's the only guy in a contract year that's just like, nah.
Yeah, because he was... Everyone thought that, like... Is he like a legitimate starting point guard in the NBA? And I still think he probably is and could be. He just hasn't shown it. And especially with Kyrie struggling to start the season, we really didn't see Terry Rozier step up that much. And I thought we would. And it's a big reason why the Celtics are one of the worst offensive teams in the NBA.
Mm.
Did the Suns offer a first-round pick for Terry Rozier? Was that the story at the start of the season? Or am I making that up?
I don't know if it was a first-round pick, but they made an offer for him.
Right.
That's what it takes.
I wonder what his trade value is now versus start of the year.
Yeah.
I think it's still pretty strong, though, considering who he's playing behind.
I don't think it's
the system he's locked in there. I think you'd see the potential that he can do, and he'd still throw money at him.
Yeah, but he came off a red hot playoffs. Like,
as in 16 points or 18 points.
As in, like, if you're an opposing GM, do you think, like, oh, that was his peak? As in, or he just lit up? Yeah.
It's only his fourth year in the league, right?
And I think he's just getting lost in a very,
That's the thing. He's so talented, and he's in a system that's very, I'd say, quite strict, I guess.
Yeah. And behind a lot of athletic players.
Totally.
Saying that, there was a lot of hoopla around him when he came in for Kyrie last year. And there's a lot of shade thrown at D'Angelo Russell, someone that came into the competition in the same draft class. Russell's numbers this year are very similar to Terry Rozier's playoff run.
Let's add him to the... Okay, yes.
You know, so it's like... I'm not saying D'Angelo Russell's a disappointment. I'm saying that, like,
we added him to the first list, if anything.
The two players are looked
at... D'Angelo's not been good this year.
No,
it hasn't been bad.
Have a look at his numbers, though.
Yeah.
They're similar to Rozier's playoffs numbers. I know Rozier had... He wasn't the focal point of the offense. He was part of a
D'Angelo's had a free
wheel. But... The point is that their numbers are similar, but they're looked at completely different. Terry Rozier is seen as someone that, you know, you could potentially build a team around if you have a vacant spot at point guard like Orlando or like Phoenix, whereas Russell is being – the question surrounding him is he a bust, you know, second?
But Russell – the conversation around Russell being the bust is as a lead guy in a team. Like, he's supposed to be – the Nets, especially with LeVert out at the moment. He's supposed to be the guy that leads the Brooklyn Nets. He's supposed to be their number one option.
Can you do that?
Isn't that the GM's fault? Not D'Angelo.
Is the question, right? That's the question, right? I know you. I know you're like you're walking around it, but can you be a lead guy on a team if you're a snitch? Like that's what we're thinking.
No, I mean, you know, no way.
Right. That's legit. That's the conversation. But also, it's the fact that he was the second overall pick, yeah. And he played for the Lakers.
Yeah.
So when you play for the Lakers, the spotlight is not brighter.
Yeah.
As in, like, it can't be brighter than what it is when you're at the Lakers.
And when you're a point guard for the Lakers, and the first thing Magic Johnson does is get rid of you as a point guard, that's sort of a...
Dang. I didn't think about that mentally. If you're a point guard and you're like, oh, the greatest point guard of all time doesn't want you.
Yeah, doesn't rate me. Like, not only would he not pick me up, he cut me. You know, he would never trade for me. He'd never draft me. Even if I was on his team already, he'd get rid of me.
Well, you'd be able to snitch him.
But yeah, Russell's averaging 17 points this season.
Yeah, but like what? Yeah, 40% I know. Shooting?
Rubbish, right?
He but shouldn't be from three.
My point wasn't
that I just
Russell's
want Spencer Dinwiddie to go into the starting
five. Yeah, he just wants
that's all this is. This is just to get Spencer Dinwiddie into the starting five because the man needs more time.
And
that's all this is.
How can you not start a name like Dinwiddie?
Exactly.
Right.
And the beard. Oh, what a guy.
What a guy.
Yeah, wow. You know, it's about situations. The situation Rozier is in and was in last year has allowed him to be looked at in a positive light,
right.
Whereas he's putting up the same numbers as a dude who's getting talked about as a bust.
So at the end of the day, it's kind of our fault.
He's put up numbers in the playoffs, not over a consistent season.
He has the potential to put up the same numbers. He put up similar numbers throughout the season when he came in for Kyrie.
Okay, yeah. You know? Yeah. But he's not
when he was a starter.
Yeah.
His numbers
are I suppose we'll see the answer to the question this summer in free or this American summer in free agency when they both hit it together. We'll see what the decision is between the two of them. Yeah.
Who gets more?
I think you have to
like neither are max guys, obviously.
Maybe because D'Angelo hasn't had a chance to prove himself in a pressure environment like the playoffs because he hasn't made it yet. But you'd have to go Terry now because he's proved that he can play in those big games.
Yeah.
And he's more athletic. He's probably not as good a shooter, I'd say. Well, D'Angelo kind of hinders himself by taking ridiculous shots.
And also...
But he does have ice in his veins, so...
Scary Terry ain't no snitch.
Yeah, Scary Terry ain't no snitch.
But, like, seriously...
I reckon he's a vault. He wouldn't tell... He wouldn't tell shit. He wouldn't tell shit.
Traded one.
Yeah. My mind got it kind of muddled there and it was like, should I swear? No, you shouldn't. Oh, you did anyway. Yeah.
At least you're enjoying yourself.
Is that it?
I mean,
have we wrapped up the week? When we entering this podcast, our minds were a bit befuddled.
Can I just say how happy I was for Dwayne Casey when they beat the Raptors?
He was
and
so
how happy
for
he
himself.
Was for himself. I thought we should just mention that because I was just like, it touched my heart. I was like, you go, you. Yeah.
Another thing that.
Yeah, then he got to go back home to Detroit.
Yeah.
Leave Toronto, basically used to live.
There are lots of things in Detroit, like car factories, et cetera.
Just can't drink the water.
Okay.
Cars. Cars in the factory.
Are there cars? Are they?
I thought they shut down the GM factory in Detroit, didn't they?
There's some cars.
Yeah, I saw
Detroit.
It on a documentary called 8 Mile.
But didn't Obama's auto bailout bill mean that the car industry was got better, got like back to relatively normal in Detroit?
Like, let's just assume our demographic doesn't want to listen to me.
Olgan watches CNN during the day. Have you noticed?
Yeah, his agenda is slowly creeping through.
What?
Bernie Sanders.
Bernie.
No, I'm not saying anything.
Okay.
I'm just saying maybe. Nah, I'm not going to say it.
Do we bring up the fact that there was a Bogut and Donald Trump poster next to each other at this Kings game?
Yeah. Sure.
Yes.
Because there was.
And tick.
For the record, we recorded throughout this entire Sydney Kings game, and it appears as though they're blowing out the New Zealand Breakers.
Oh yeah,
Kings are on a run right now.
What a game!
Is what they're doing.
All right, but let's
something that I did miss out, and I'm going to do it now, and hopefully it's okay. League Pass and Chill is brought to you by Fallout 76, which is in stores now.
We had a subtle one in there.
Yeah, did we in the middle?
Yeah. I don't think that counts. I think Bethesda will be mad at us for that. But it's okay because it's at the end of the podcast.
Sorry, Bethesda.
Yeah, it's the last thing they think about before.
It's the last thing you think about. So once you're done listening to this, take your headphones out, go to your favorite media store. I didn't want to name any.
What is a media store?
An entertainment. What would you call it?
A place where you buy stuff.
Something like a JB Hi-Fi,
video
but we're not going to advertise JB Hi-Fi.
Of that
yeah,
but like
until they pay us.
Yeah.
Yes. But at this moment, League Pass is brought to you by Fallout 76. Installs now. Go and buy that if you wish.
You.
But do.
Mm, please do. And vote Bernie.
Bye.
You're coming on a bit strong there, Alex.
Am I? I'm so sorry. If you follow us on our Twitters and Facebooks, you know where to find us, hopefully.
Except we haven't told you.
On Twitter, we're at Fox Basketball. On Facebook, we're at Fox Sports Basketball. Subscribe to us. Rate, review, all the good stuff. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
See you guys.